Today we're going to learn we're going to start to learn a little bit about Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Again, as I mentioned before, we're not going to learn the specifics of the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai as it relates to Tefillin, and there are many of those. We'll get to that, God willing, starting tomorrow. Today we're just going to discuss broadly what Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is all about, or not necessarily what it's all about, but how it operates, and how Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai might operate, how it could operate in different circumstances. So the Gemara over here just speaks about, gives out like a whole list of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai relating to Tefillin. The Titura of Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We have to figure out what that is. The Ma'abarta of Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We've got to figure out what that is. The Shin Shel Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We're pretty confident we know what that is. Black Ritzuos is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We have a whole list of items. Tefillin Merubaos, the Kesher Shel Tefillin. All of these things are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the word Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is very explicit. The Gemara has different ways of saying Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai in other contexts. Like the Gemara very often will say Hilchsa Gemirila, and Rashi will comment Hilchsa Gemirila Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Hilchsa Gemirila means L'Moshe M'Sinai. Rashi will often make that comment, but it's important to note that it doesn't always use the words Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And one might argue with Rashi and say, you know, it doesn't always mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. When it says Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, maybe that means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Other phrases, Gemara Gemirila, Hilchsa Gemirila, other phrases that often are used and are understood to mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai may or may not, according to all Rishonim, mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But what I wanted to talk today about is what you were learning about it throughout the morning, is the two different types of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We're going to give a number of illustrations of these two different types of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Let's start the conversation with the Ran and Masech HaShabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The Halacha is on Shabbos that the much of Shabbos and Erevin is all about this one Malacha of Shabbos called Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah can be violated. Hotza'ah is a Malacha Geruah. It's the least creative of all of the Malachas, so Chazal referred to it already as a Malacha Geruah. It's like a low-level Malacha, because most Malachas involve some sort of creative activity. You cook something, you've made something new, you've built something, you've done something creative. Hotza'ah is, you took this and you brought it from here to here. So you didn't really do anything creative at all. But Hotza'ah can be violated in three ways. There is taking from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus Rabin, and then there's the third type, which is the subject of this run, of carrying Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabin. So the Ran points out that the Gemara in Erevin writes that Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabin is Gemara in Erevin Sadi Vavam Beis is Hilchus HaGemirila. That Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabin is Hilchus HaGemirila. So wait a second, does that mean that carrying Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabin is different than what we would call Hotza'ah or Hachnasa, carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or vice versa? Because carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is not Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that's Min HaTorah. And yet, carrying Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Erevin Sadivav says, is Hilchasa Gemirila. So the Ran says more fundamentally that, forget about the fact that it's called something different, that you call it Hilchasa Gemirila, should happen nafkamina in halacha, because the halacha is that one does not get malchus on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, right? One only gets malchus when they violate a lav min haTorah, los haseh in the Torah. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is not a los haseh in the Torah, and therefore one does not get malchus for a violation of an isser that's only Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Yet one does get malchus when they carry Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabim. Why would that be the case? The Ran points out over here that the Chiyamir and the Kaman Perak Hazorek, the Mavir Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabim Hilchsa Gemirila, Haynu L'Chayiv L'Midin Motzi. Very critical line, the Ran says. When the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai tells us that when you carry four Amos and Rishus HaRabim, you're Chayiv, it means you're Chayiv as someone who is Motzi Mirishus L'Rishus. We're not creating a new category, a third type of Hotza'ah. We are saying that when you carry Dalet Amos b'Rishus HaRabim, you have taken from one Rishus to another. It's the same as taking from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. Umishum hachion shenala, and that's why you get punished for it. Because it is a violation of a daraisa. How will the nis mechal Torah shebichsav? Because it directly links to what it says in Torah shebichsav. It directly links to the actual malacha daraisa. Halav achilo mechayv la shenon shebelach l'moshe misina. But had it not been that way, had it been a brand new category called Hotsa'a, called Mavrid Dalet Amos, that's not connected to carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or vice versa, then there was no way we could ever punish a person for that, because that's purely Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. See, the Ran doesn't say it as explicitly as Reb Chaim, but he's saying it. He's already introducing us to the concept that there are two types of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and the basis of the entire shir is an understanding of these two types of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So let me say it clearly first. There's an Reb Chaim used terminology, the Achronim used terminology. You don't have to use the terminology if you don't like, but it's easy, you know, as Reb Chaim often does, easy when you coin the terminology, it's much easier to wrap your mind around it. There's what we could call a halacha mechadeshas and a halacha mefarashas. Halacha mechadeshas means that the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai came and created a new din out of whole cloth. Brand new, didn't exist before. Brand new din. Halacha mechadeshes, it's mechadesh, a brand new din. And therefore the din that is created as a result of that halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is totally independent. Stands on its own, it's not achrayi, it's not, it doesn't have any connection to anything else. It's binding, minat Torah, because halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is the status according to Moshe Shorim Doraisa, but it's not the highest level of a din daraisa, it's a low level din daraisa. You got to read the Prima Gadin Psicha Kalalos, where he goes through all the different levels of din daraisa and din drabanan. Okay, but that's halacha mechadeshes, brand new. Then there's what's called halacha mefareshes. That the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai isn't mechadesh, a brand new din, it's that the Torah was vague. The Torah, even after you use the Yudgal Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben, you put it through the machine, you see what comes out, it's still vague, it's still not clear. And the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is mefaresh what the Torah means. For example, let's give an example of each. Anyone want to give an example of each? What's the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that we know of? Well, for one, the Gemara says, Shiurin are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Shiurin, chatzitzin, mechitzin. Let's take shiurin because they're the most familiar to us. What does it mean, shiurin? The fact that when you eat matzah, you have to eat how much? A kezayis. That's halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It doesn't say it in the Torah that you have to eat a kezayis. The Gemara has a remez from the pasuk, but it's only a remez, the Gemara says, because the pasuk doesn't really give any indication that that's what it's talking about. The pasuk that goes through the minim, the Eretz Yisrael and the Shtavuch Ben, so one of them is shemen, so that's kezayis. Okay, whatever. But that's halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Now, is that a halacha mechadeshes or is that a halacha mefareshes? That in order to be yotzei the mitzvah matzah, you need a kezayis. That's mefareshes. Why? The Torah already told me I got to eat matzah. I just have no idea how much I'm supposed to eat. Just a little tiny bite. Do I have to eat the whole box? I have no idea what I'm supposed to eat. Comes halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai and says, "Let me explain this to you. You're supposed to eat a kezayis." Here's the amount. The amount is a kezayis. It's mefarish. And therefore, when I eat the kezayis, I'm not being yotzei halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, I'm being yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa v'chidus matzah. Chibut arava. Minag neviim, misog neviim. Nisach hamayim, let's say, halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So it's not that the Torah talks about it, and we, you know, when you have something brand new, the Torah never even spoke about it. And then we're introducing a new halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So that's obviously going to be a halacha mechadeshes. But it's not always so clear what's mechadeshes, what's mefareshes. For example, carrying Dalet Amos for Rosh Hashanah. One could have argued, it's halacha mechadeshes. Torah never, the halacha min haTorah is what we derive from the Mishkan, is being Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, and vice versa. That's what we could derive directly from the Mishkan. There is no carrying Dalet Amos for Shas Rabin by the Mishkan. So the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is mechadesh
a new din in Hilcha Shabbos, having nothing to do with Hotza'ah as we know it, one could have argued. Says the Ran, though, that's not what's happening here. Now, Halach L'Moshe Misinei is being mefaresh the geder of one rishus to another rishus. What we learn from the Torah is that you can't carry from one rishus to another. Rishus Ram to Rishus Yach, Rishus Yach to Rishus Ram. The Halach L'Moshe Misinei says there's a third way of defining rishus. And that is, Dalet Amos Shel Adam is rishuso. The four Amos in your vicinity are your rishus. When you take it outside of those four Amos, you have moved it into another rishus, and you have therefore done the same exact thing as carrying from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim, or vice versa. Halacha mefareshes, with a big nafkamina. If it were a halacha mechadeshes, it's a brand new halacha, you can't get malchus for that, because it's purely halacha l'moshe misinai. But if it's halacha mefareshes, what's it telling me? When I carry dalet Amos Rishus Rabim, I have violated Hotzah of the Torah, the regular Hotzah of the Torah. And that you can get punished for. That you can get Malkus for. Question?
How would we just take that approach and apply it to this in this alignment with the Gemara and the Gemara and Tanakh discusses? It brings out kosher money.
We're going to get to Nisach HaMayim, right? It's a tiny stuff, based on Gimel, two Deos. We'll get to, we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be one of the examples we use.
Yes, what would be an example of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Mechadeshes?
Mechadeshes? Let's say Nisach HaMayim. Okay, let's get there. No? No. I mean, maybe the Torah, there's a remez, mem here, yud there, and mem there, you know? We'll talk about it. Now, it's just interesting that the Ran calls Dalet Amos Shel Adam Rishuso Hein, that's a halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Meaning, if you say that it's halacha mefareshes, what the halacha L'Moshe Misinai is saying is that my four Amos are my Rishus, and therefore when I take it beyond the four Amos, I've been motzi from one Rishus to another, right? It's interesting to say that, because there is a Gemara in B'Metzia Dav Yud that speaks about Kinyan Dalet Amos, that Dalet Amos Shel Adam is Kona for a person. And the Gemara says, why is it that normally you need to do a kinyan, you got to do a hagbah, mishicha, you got to do something, you got to do, you know, a real achmas l'rishuso. Why is it dalet amos shel adam is kona for a person? So I would have said, if I didn't learn that Gemara, I would have said, well, according to this Ran, what do you mean? Of course it's kona for a person, it's in your shus, it's a kinyan chatzer. It's the same way your chatzer is your rishus, this is your rishus. Dalet amos shel adam, that's your rishus, you are machnis in your rishus, it's there. The Gemara says, no, you know why Dalet Amos Shel Adam is kona for a person? We don't want people to start fighting over things. So, you know, they made it that the first guy within four Amos. Because if, like, you have to, you know, if it was like a football game where you had to actually, you know, when there's a fumble and everyone has to actually, like, pounce on the ball and then, like, you know, it goes on under those piles. Like, that's, you don't want that to happen. That's not like a Torah value to have, you know, all the scratching and clawing and whatever else they do under those piles when they're trying to grab the fumble. You don't want that. So Dalet Amos of Shel Adam, so that they don't come to fight. What does that sound like? A din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? It's clearly a d'rabbanan, right? We don't want them to fight with each other. But why do I need that? If Dalet Amos of Shel Adam anyway is kona for a person, because it's his, if Dalet Amos of Shel Adam anyway is his rishus, so what do I need this, that they don't come to fight? It's his rishus anyway. So what you see from the Ran, and the Me'iri says this explicitly in Gittinai and Ches, is that the idea that Dalet Amos Shel Adam is his rishus is a din d'oraisa. The idea that it's able to be kone for you is only d'rabbanan. Meaning it's your rishus, but it's not the same thing as your chatzer. So on some level, it is considered your rishus. But all of the details that your own yard would have, all of the rights and privileges you have in your own backyard, you don't necessarily have in your Dalet Amos. For example, you can't be kona in your Dalet Amos. And the Miri says it has to be a din d'oraisa. It has to be a din d'oraisa. Because a get works within Dalet Amos of a person. Right? You give the get within Dalet Amos of a woman. I remember when we learned Gittin in DRS many years ago, not this last cycle, the cycle before that, must be about 17, 18 years ago. One of the Rebbeim, wanted to describe the concept of Karovla. So he took the whole shir outside and he made a new game and he called it close ball, where you didn't actually have to catch the ball, you just have to be close.
And he described, like, and they got into arguments. Wait, that was closer to you, that was closer to me, that was close, you know, how do you determine what's karv lo, what's karv lo? A great chinuch moment. I mean, really made the guys relate to it. But Dalam HaMosheh is kona get. Get works on a daraisa level, hopefully. Otherwise, you're taking an Eish HaSish and you're being matir to the whole world. So that's a problem. We don't have a Gemara that says, oh, that's Afkin Rabban of the Kedushin Bine. That's why get works within Dalam HaMosheh. We don't have that. It sounds like it's working on a daraisa level. So Dalam HaMosheh is your Rishus. It just can't be kona for you. Wait a second. Then why does it work by a get? If on a daraisa level it's not kona for you, that's only a din Rabbanan. Then why does it work by a get? By a get, don't you have to be kona a get? So this is really a whole separate topic, but this is a raya to the yisod of the ketzos. What? Oh, so the famous sheet of the ketzos, Simon Reish, is that the nasan biyadi, you need a nesina, but not necessarily a kinyan. And that's the miri would fit very beautifully. Dalar Amos Shodim is a person's rishus, so it's called v'nasan biyadi, you put it in a rishus, in a chatzar, in a rishus. But it wasn't a Kenyan. It's okay. You don't need a Kenyan by a get. You only need a Sina by a get. You don't need a Kenyan by a get. Okay, but that's already off topic. So we have these two notions. Halacha mechadeshes, halacha mefarashes. My favorite example is my favorite because it's the one Reb Chaim really uses to flesh out this whole concept. You shouldn't be scared when you see words like Arla and Ravai and things like that, even though these aren't things you probably learned when you were 6 years old. They're not, Zroim is not particularly challenging. It's not like a very hard, neither is Kachin, by the way. Taros, okay, maybe, but, you know, like, we're scared of these things just because we don't learn them when we're young. Used to be the minhag was that they would learn Kachin, they would learn Vayikra first with kids. So they were never scared of it their whole lives. They were probably scared of Nashim and Nezikim. But, you know, shouldn't be scared of Zroim. The halacha is in Chumash, the Torah tells us, that in Parshas Kedoshim, Vayikra Perek Yates, that if, along with a list of totally unrelated mitzvos, a lot of mitzvos there, that if a person plants a tree in Eretz Yisrael, Ki Savo El Eretz, when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you plant a tree, any fruit that it bears the first 3 years, which is likely going to be nothing, but every once in a while it might in the first 3 years bear some fruit, any fruit it bears in the first 3 years has a din of Arla. What's the halacha of Arla? Aser. The Hana'a, not just Achili, even Hana'a. Fourth year? Netarevai. What's the halach of Netarevai? You treat it the same way you treat Maaser Sheni. How do you treat Maaser Sheni? You're allowed to eat it, but only in Yerushalayim. Great, fine. Fifth year, it's all yours. Enjoy it. That's the halacha. Good. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daflam, and Chesam, and Beis, quotes a Mishnah in Orla, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes, that Orla Schutz La'aretz, is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. You know, the pasuk says ki savo al aretz, you come into Eretz Yisrael. That's where you have Orla. How do I know that Orla applies in chutz l'aretz? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So Orla is Eretz Yisrael d'oraisa, explicit in the pasukim. Orla is chutz l'aretz, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam, in source number 3 over here, number 3, in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, notes verse number 2, Perik Yod Alachat Hezvav, says, you know, the Gemara never said whether there's Netar Revai in Chutz La'aretz. It said that there's Orla in Chutz La'aretz. And Chumash says that there's Orla and Netar Revai in Eretz Yisrael. Is there Netar Revai in Chutz La'aretz? What happens to fourth year in Chutz La'aretz? Does it go straight from being Orla to being totally fine? Or do you have to go through that Netar Revai stage? Says the Rambam, Machlok is between me and the Gaonim, the Rambam says. Yira'i li, she'ein din netar revai noig b'chutz l'aretz. There is no netar revai in chutz l'aretz. There's Arla, there's no netar revai. Ela ochel perashon revius below pidyon klal. You can eat the fruit of the fourth year, you don't have to be poda, nothing. Shelo amru ela ha'orla. He gives a kal v'chomer why that should be the case. And then he says at the end, Vahoru miktsas ga'onim shekerem revai levado podin oso b'chutz l'aretz v'achar kach yiyah mutar ba'achila ve'in ledavar za'ikr. At least by a vineyard there's such a thing as revai even in chutz l'aretz. They have a din of revai even in chutz l'aretz. What are they arguing about?
They changed the kerem revai.
Yeah.
Right. So that's an easy way for us to get sidetracked. Right. But the Gaonim don't say explicitly Netta Revai. They don't say Netta Revai. They say only Dafka Kerem Revai. Apparently, they would hold on a Daraisa level, and maybe it would only apply to Kerem, not to Netta. Okay. But says Reb Chaim, what's the machlokas over here between the Rambam and the Gaonim? He says, because you could explain Arla in two ways. You know, sometimes whether it's halacha mefresh or halacha mechadesh is obvious, and sometimes it's not obvious. The Torah already tells me there's a din of Arla in Eretz Yisrael. And that din of Arla is part of a process. It's not an independent, it's part of a process. The process is the first 3 years is Arla, the fourth year is Revai, and the fifth year Anan is Mutter. It's all part of a process. When the halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes and tells me that there's a din of Arla even in Chutz La'aretz, is it a halacha mechadeshes or a halacha mefareshes? If it's a halacha mechadeshes, what's it telling me? Forget the whole din of Arla and Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with that. Whatever you know about Arla and Eretz Yisrael, whatever process you're familiar with, whatever cycle you're familiar with, of 3 years to 4 years to five, forget that. This has nothing to do with that. This is a brand new halacha called Arlas Chutz La'aretz. And how long does Arla last for? 3 years and only 3 years. And the halacha l'moshe m'sinai only told me about Arla, never said anything about Netta Revai. If it's halacha mechadeshes, then there's not going to be a din of Revai. You'll hold like the Rambam. The Rambam would say there would not be a din of Revai in Chutz La'aretz. Because there's nothing to do with what it says in the Torah. These are totally independent, standalone mitzvah called, or isra called Arla's Chutz La'aretz. But if you hold that it's halacha mefareshes, what's halacha l'moshe m'sinai saying? Oh, you know that parsha of Arla that it says in the Torah? The Torah says it explicitly about Arlas Eretz Yisrael, but you should know something. It's not only about Arlas Eretz Yisrael, it also includes Arlas Chutz La'aretz. Ooh, which means that we're taking Arlas Chutz La'aretz and we're implanting it into that parsha of the Torah. And that parsha of the Torah doesn't just describe Arla. What does that parsha of the Torah describe? It describes a process. 3 years of Arla, a fourth year of Revai, after that everything's good. We're implanting it into that set of psukim, Vayikra Yutes. And we're saying Arla Chutz La'aretz is part of that. It becomes an actual part of it. The Rambam, who understands that it's halacha mechadeshes, would say elecha bo elechidusha. The chidush is limited to what the halacha Moshe Misina exactly says. The Gaonim who say halacha mefreshes would say that you implant it into the Torah. Now here's the issue. The Torah introduces the din of Arla, ki savavu el ha'aretz. It's a little hard to implant, right? You're going to implant a din of Arla's Chutz La'aretz and say, oh, you know, the Chumash, the Halach L'moshe M'sinai teaches me, is mefarish to me, the same way it's mefarish that when the Torah says, eat matzah, it means a kezayis, it's mefarish when the Torah talks about Arla and Revai, that it means even Arla's Chutz La'aretz. Then what are you going to do with the words, Kisavo El Aretz? Kisavo El Aretz seem very clearly to be limiting it to Ha'aretz, to Eretz Yisrael. So if you assume that it's a halacha mechadesh, that's no problem. Kisavol aretz is for the halacha that it's teaching us in the Torah. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai of Arla is totally independent, has nothing to do with what it says in the Torah, it's perfectly fine. How would the Gaonim understand kisavol aretz? So the Gaonim would understand that ki doesn't mean where, that you go into the land, you know, that it should be only there, ba'aretz. But that ki means when. It's describing a historical process. When do all the dinim of Arla start to apply? Everywhere? When you go into Eretz Yisrael. At the time that the Dor HaMidbar enters the land. That's when it starts to apply everywhere. So if one violates Arla's Chutz La'aretz, let me ask you. A person eats or is nana from Arla's Chutz La'aretz, get Malkus Daraisa or not? If you hold, like the Rambam, that it's halacha mechadeshes, so then?
Yeah.
No Malkus. Ram Lashitasa actually passes. Yet Malkus Mardus for the Switzerlands. Malkus Mardus is the Rabbanim. But if you hold, like the Gaonim, that it's halacha mefarashas, Malkus Daraisa, it's part of the din in the Torah. Another example, fantastic example. The halacha is that a Kohen, who's an Orel, cannot do the Avoda. What's an Orel? No bris milah. Can't do the Avoda. So the Gemara in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin says, how do I know that a Kohen is an Orel, can't do the Avoda? Gemara Gemirila, which we normally translate, Rashi always translates as halacha l'moshe misina. Can't do the Avoda. Great. Rashi Sanhedrin Pei Dalit Amin Aleph says that if a Kohen Orel does the Avoda, he doesn't get Malkus. That's not surprising. Why is he not going to get Malkus Daraisa? Because we said the Kohen Orel doing the Avoda is only halacha l'moshe misina. So it's halacha l'moshe misinai. You don't get Malkus for halacha l'moshe misinai, right? That's to be expected. So he's not going to get Malkus. Take a look at source number 4. Ramam Hilchus Bias Mikdash Parag Vav Halacha Ches. Ha'arel ha'reyu k'ben necha. An arel is like a ben necha. He's like someone who's a foreigner. He's not a kohen. Shenemar kol ben necha arelei varol basa. Meaning, he's puzzled to do the avoda, and Arel is not allowed to do the avoda. Lefichach, Arel sha'avad chilel avodaso. Viloka kizar sha'avad. An Arel Kohen, who's an Arel, does the avoda, is going to get Malkus the same way a zar, a non-Kohen, who does the avoda, gets Malkus. Guess what kind of Malkus a non-Kohen gets? Malkus dar raisa. And an Arel also, Malkus Daraisa. But wait, the Gemara was explicit that a Kohen Arel is only Halach Lamosha Misinai. Why in the world would he be getting Malkus Daraisa if it's only Halach Lamosha Misinai? So by now we should have it all set, right? We know how that could happen. How could something be Halach Lamosha Misinai and still get Malkus Daraisa? As long as you say it's halacha mefarashas. Mefarish what? It doesn't say anything about an oral. What's it being mefarish? Look carefully at that Rambam. The Rambam uses very unusual terminology. That Rambam does not say that an oral does the avoda gets malchus. That's what he should have said. He should have said, if a kohen oral does the avoda, he gets malchus. That's not what he says. He says, loke kizar sha'avad. He gets Malkus like a non-Kohen who did the Avoda, which means that the Halacha l'Moshe Misinai tells us that a Kohen who does not have a Bris Milah is not a Kohen. He's a Zar. The Torah already tells me what the din is by a Zar. A Zar gets Malkus Daraisa. Halacha l'Moshe Misinai is Mefaresh, that Zar doesn't only relate to your lineage. We know it doesn't only relate to your lineage, right? A person is a Ben Grush also, his father could be a Kohen. But it doesn't only relate to the circumstance of your parents' marriage or whether your father was a Kohen or not. But even if you're lacking, a Bris Milah has a din of a Zar. That's the Chiddush of the Perush of the Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And that's why the Rambam's so expressive in his Lashon. That he's loke kizar sha'avad, not stam that he gets malchus. It's an expansion of the psul zar, very similar to a concept. You know, Razin once wrote a whole essay about this. Bizman shein bigdeim aleim ein kunas aleim. Right? You right about that?
Yes.
Not the tiv bigdei kuna, but the Indian.
The definition of a kohen is a clothed, washed hands.
Gemalt Kohen. Right? The Gemara has an expression. Bizman she'ein bigdeyem aleihem, ein kuhunasam aleihem. Wow. They don't have their bigdey kuhuna, they're not kohan. You see the idea that a Kohen can have perfect lineage, but in a certain sense he's treated like a zar. Klapi the Avoda, he's like a Zar. Now, can he get the first Aliyah if he's not wearing Big Dekuna? Yes.
know, do we have, you can still give him matnos kuna if he's not wearing big day kuna? Yes. But klapi the avoda, he's considered like a zar when he's not wearing big day kuna. Bizman shein big day amaleim ain't kunas amaleim. So is it that far of a stretch to say that if he doesn't have a bris mila, he's not a full-fledged kohen legabe the avoda? That's how the Rambam understands. Allah l'moshim isinai. And it's not so crazy. We have a model for this in Big Day Kuna. That if he doesn't have a bris mila, so he's not a kohen legabe the avoda.
Why is he in law?
What?
Aval Einu Chayiv Misa.
I guess like other problems of that relate to Hakrava and the Mikdash, where you would be Chayiv Misa. I'm not sure. Right. Maybe you have to look at the context. You have to look at the previous halacha and see if maybe that was, right? Or what the next halacha is where it tells you that it is Chayiv Misa maybe. Is it Zar or Achal? I don't think so. He has Din of a Zar. Another example. So now let's go to the Nisach HaMayim, because right, we said we'd touch on Nisach HaMayim. The Gemara in Tainus, Daf Beis Daf Gimel, has a Machlokas Tanoim, where Nisach HaMayim comes from. When do they do Nisach HaMayim? It's also Machlokas, but sometime around Sukkot. So discussion exactly when. Second day, seventh day, sixth day, different opinions. So it's Machlokas Tanoim, where it comes from. Revidim Seira says, oh, look at the Chumash. It says, Viniske hem, Unisache ha, with an extra yud, because it could have said Viniska. It says, Unisache ha, with a yud, and Kimishpatam. So, Viniske hem, Unisache ha, and Kimishpatam, and mem, yud, mem, ah, mayim. And that's the basis of Nisach HaMayim. Rabbi Nechemya says, that's not really a thing. Rather, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Right, Machlokas, where it comes from. Now, here's where it gets exciting. The Rambam, normally we like to explain Shitas HaRambam. Sometimes the Rambam has more than one Shita. Because the Rambam wrote more than one book, and he wrote them, you know, not at the same time. So, when he wrote the Perush HaMishnayis, he was a little younger. When he wrote the Mishnah Torah, he was a little older. And as a human being, he retains the right to change his mind. And it's possible that he changed his mind many occasions. However, when he wrote the Perush HaMishnayis, he was also a Rishon. Right? So we learn the Perush HaMishnayis like you learn a Rishon. Maybe not with the same reverence that we learn Mishnah Torah with, but he's also a Rishon. So when he does change his mind, we're going to need to figure out what he held in Perush HaMishnayis and what he held in Mishnah Torah. In the Perush HaMishnayis in Zvachim, Perek Yud Gimel Mishnah Vav, the Rambam writes that if one is menasech mayim bachutz, so normally avoda bachutz, very, very bad, right? Not allowed to do avoda bachutz. So the Rambam writes, is this called avoda bachutz on a daraisa level? Would you get an onesh, midaraisa, for being menasech mayim bachutz? See, if you hold there's a drasha in the Torah, mem, yud, mem, however strange that drasha may sound to us, but you hold that there's an actual drasha in the Torah, so then it's an avodim in a Torah. If you hold this halach l'moshe misinai, then it's its own thing. It's not right. The Rambam writes that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri, you're chayv because it's an avodah derived from a drasha. Avodah b'chutz midaraisa, it's chayv midaraisa. But if you hold like Rabbi Nechemya, the Nisach HaMayim is only Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, then there's not going to be any Malkus. You're not going to be Chayv Malkus. It's only Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, because you don't get Malkus on Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. It's very reasonable what the Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayis. But then you look in Meister Kavanos, Parik Yitas Halach L'Gimel, Source number 8, Mikan Omru, Hazorik Es Adam, O Makdir Evariel, O Emur, No Komet Solovan, O Ktoris, He gives us a whole list of avodos, and he sneaks into the list of avodos that when you do bachutz, you're going to be chayiv, for he sneaks in nisuch hamayim onto his list of avodos bachutz. Okay, that's no problem for us so far, right? Why is that no problem for us? He's obviously taking a stand.
is this halacha l'moshe misinai or is this a drasha d'oraisa? He's obviously telling us what? That it's minat Torah, it's a drasha d'oraisa. And therefore you're going to be chayiv. He's obviously holding it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. Great, until you read the other Rambam. In Tzvidim Musaf and Perikir Alachavav, the previous Rambam. Kol shivis yimei achag, menaschem esamayim al gabi amizbech. We do something called nisach hamayim. V'edavar zeh, halacha l'moshe misinai. Couldn't be more explicit. Wait a second. In the Perish of Mishnayis, the Rambam told us, you want to know if you can get malchus for nisach hamayim b'chutz? You only have to answer one question. Do you hold it's halacha l'moshe misinai, or do you hold it is a drasha? If you hold it's a drasha, you're going to get malchus. If you hold it's halacha l'moshe misinai, no malchus. Right? Simple. One question. But then comes the Rambam himself in Mishnah Torah says halacha l'moshe misinai, and you still get malchus d'oraisa, even though it's halacha l'moshe misinai. What changed? You have a whole cheshbon in the Perish of Mishnayis. That if it's halacha l'moshe misinai, there's not going to be malchus. If it's malchus, it must be a drasha, not halacha l'moshe misinai. And now he says it's halacha l'moshe misinai, you still get malchus. What changed from the Rambam's thinking in Perish HaMishnayis to the Rambam's thinking in Mishnah Torah? What changed is that in Perish HaMishnayis, he understood that if it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, it's a halacha mechadeshes. And therefore, there's not going to be any malchus, because it's a brand new halacha. By the time he got around to writing Mishnah Torah, he realized, or thought, that even if it is a halacha l'moshe misinai, it might be a halacha mifareshes. And as a halacha mifareshes, you can get malchus for it. It's a halacha that's mifaresh. What exactly constitutes avoda? Avoda b'chutz yirchayiv. So this is mifaresh, that part of avoda is nisach hamayim. And therefore, you're going to be chayiv for it. So it's not a stira in the Rambam at all. How many? Another example. This one's an easier one. Okay, that one's a little complicated example. The two Rambams. Here's an even easier one. Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Ayin Aleph explains. The Gemara over there says that Priya lo nitna l'Avram Avinu. What's Priya? Priya is a part of the Mila process. There's the Mila and the Priya. The Priya is a peeling away of a certain layer of skin that's underneath the foreskin, whatever. Okay. Priya lo nitna l'Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu's bris Mila did not involve a Priya. Okay. So Tosfos explains, yeah, that's true. But we didn't make it up on our own. It's not a din d'rabbanan. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. That Priya is halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, the Chasam Sofer, in a couple of tshuvas in Yoredeya, Resh Mem Ches, Resh Mem Tes, the Chasam Sofer raises a suffix. Let's say the Moel left Tzitzin HaMa'akvin Es HaPriya. He didn't finish the Mila, he didn't do the Priya. He did the Mila, but not the Priya. Then, like a week later, he comes to check the baby. He's like, oh gosh, I forgot to do the Priya. So now he's got to do the Priya. Right? And the whole meal is not kosher without it. Right? So he's got to do the Priya. Chasam Sofer says, I'm not sure what bracha he should make. What bracha should he say? Should he make Asher Kishorim? Should he say Asher Kishorim? Make is like a Yiddishism, right? It's macha bracha, but in English it doesn't make any sense. Should he recite Asher Kishorim Sosav Tzivanu Al ha mila, or she says Shekhar Shalom Sosav Tzivanu Al ha priya, because he already did the mila. You know, Avram Avinu would have looked at that bris and said, "Nice job." He didn't have priya. Priya only came in as halacha l'moshe misinai. Should he say a bracha al ha mila, or should he say a bracha al ha priya? Says Rav Shechter in Eretz Hatzvi, Siman Lamed Vav. What's the suffix about? So by now you know what the suffix is about. Is this halacha l'moshe misinai that you require a priya, a halacha mifarashas or a halacha mechadashas? Is it mechadesh, a separate mitzvah, independent of mila? There's a mitzvah called priya. Well, if that's the case, that there's an independent mitzvah called priya, well then, when you say the bracha, you should say the bracha on the priya. Mila you already did, and now there's an independent mitzvah called priya. Or is it a halacha mefareshes? You thought mila only involved mila. Comes halacha Moshe Misina and says, no, mila means priya also. Mila means priya also. In which case, you say al hamila. Because you didn't do a mila. Mila is defined, halacha Moshe Misina tells us, informs us, that mila is defined as mila and priya, not just mila. One more example? One more example, okay? One more. Reb Chaim in Bias Mikdash, Paragalav Halach Tezvav, doesn't say it straight out, but he sort of does. Like, if you like, once you see the other Reb Chaim, it's obvious that this is what Reb Chaim is saying over here as well. The Rambam holds that a Kohen who has drunk wine that goes Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, gets Malkus, Minatot. Is violating Nisan Daraisa. Shiyayin are not allowed into the Mikdash, but which parts of the Mikdash? There are Eser Kedusha, saying the Mishnah and Midos go through levels of Kedusha. So there are certain parts where you're allowed to go Shiyayin, like Yerushalayim, you're allowed to be in Yerushalayim having drunk some wine, right? Harabayas, Mutter. So exactly where is he not allowed to go? Rambam says, Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, he already gets Malkus Daraisa. Ravid says, no. Only if he's Nichnas Lehecha, it's Daraisa. So Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah points out that the pasuk Bevoachem Elo Al Moed sounds like the Rav, that beyond the Mizbeach is only the Rabbanan, but only when you're in the Heichal Elo Al Moed, which is like the Heichal, only then would it be Daraisa. Yeah, that's what the pasuk says. The Rambam, and Rav Shachter quotes all this, the Rambam must say that it's Halach L'Moshe Misina. Right? Because it's in the pasuk, it only says Elo El Moed. So he must say Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So the lashon of the Rambam is actually pretty striking. He writes, Yira Eli, that you get Malkus. Yira Eli, what does Yira Eli tell you? When the Rambam says Yira Eli, what's he telling you? That, what? No, he is sure, but it's his chiddush. That it's not obvious, that it's not something that's clear that you must conclude from the sources. It's what he chose to conclude from the sources, and he believes is correct, but it's not something that you must conclude from the sources. Yira'eli, that if you violate the Salach L'Moshe Misinai, having drunk some wine and you go, Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, you get Malkus. Yira'eli. Now, if he understands that going Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach after having drunk wine is Salach L'Moshe Misinai, why is it a Yira Eli? Why does he think that reasonable minds can disagree whether you'd get Malkus or not, but by the way, I think you get Malkus? Why can reasonable minds disagree about it? Because once you're saying it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you're leaving open two possibilities. Either it's a Halacha Mefareshes, where the din of Olam Moed applies even Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach according to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but it's that same din in the Torah of Shri Yayin, not going Olam Moed, applies even Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach. And if it's Halacha Mefareshes, you're going to get Malkus, and that's the Rambam's stance. But the Rambam acknowledges a reasonable person might conclude otherwise. A reasonable person, even knowing that there's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, they not let it go Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach when you're Shri Yayin, might say, yes, but that's a halacha mechadeshes. And if it's a halacha mechadeshes, you're not going to get Malkus for it. It's an independent halacha L'Moshe Misinai, having nothing to do with going into the Ohel Moed. So we gave five examples of where you see halacha mefresh and halacha mechadeshes diverge from each other. We had Dalar Amos Parashas Harabim. We had Orla in Chutz Laretz. We had a Kohen Orel not doing the Avoda. We had Nisuch HaMayim. We had the Mitzvah of Priya. Six examples. And we have going Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach when you're Shri Yayin. In each of these cases, what's highlighted is that there are two different types of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's an interesting exercise is to figure out, is it possible to carry that chakira to all the halachas of Moshe Mishinai of tefillin? Or is tefillin a no-brainer? It has to be. It has to be what? If it has to be something, what does it have to be? Mefereshes. Can there be anything in tefillin that's maybe mechadeshes? Or do we just say, no, it's all part of the chepta shel tefillin, and therefore it's all necessarily mefereshes. So that's one element of halachas of Moshe Mishinai. I wanted to get to a second one, but all right, I guess we won't. So tomorrow maybe we'll start actually going through the halachas of these specific halachas of Moshe Mishinai of tefillin. Thank you.